Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. My super simplified version of how stem cells work is that the scientists just take a magic wand, wave it over some stem cells, and voila, they turn into healthy retina cells. Well, that is definitely not how it works, but I think stem cells are fascinating. Here's what I found out about research that's being done to try to find a cure for retinal diseases using stem cells. The first article comes from, in fact, a lot of the research I found out is being done in the UK. So the first article comes from the Evening Standard newspaper in the UK. The headline reads, "Research Project Growing Eye Parts from Skin Cells Could Lead to Cure for Blindness." This was written by Ross Lightall. Doctors are growing eye parts from skin cells in pioneering research that's seeking a cure for rare genetic causes of blindness. Experts at the UCL Institute of Ophthalmology have been able to transform a skin sample the size of a little lentil into what they're calling an eye cup. This is akin to the eye's early development in the womb. Because the eye cups contain the patient's genetic information, they can be used to test the effectiveness of drugs in delaying or potentially restoring the damage disease is causing to their retina, the light-sensitive layer of the eye. Project leader Dr. Maria Musaji, a consultant ophthalmologist and scientist, said analyzing a patient's faulty genes and their role in causing disease would help find targets for treatment. Dr. Musaji, who also works in the Biomedical Research Center at the Moorfields Eye Hospital, said, "Once we know a patient's genetic diagnosis, we can grow their own retinas in a dish to better understand the disease. Drugs are then tested on the eye cups or in zebrafish, tiny creatures that share 70% of their genes with humans. Drugs that are already approved for human use in other diseases are being tried first." Dr. Musaji explained, "If we can find drugs that are already approved for patient use that are then shown to have an effect on the eye models, then we can move toward clinical trials much faster." Due to London's ethnic diversity, Moorfields Hospital is thought to have the largest cohort of patients with genetic eye disease in the world. Many diseases cause children to be born blind or to lose their sight in their early years. The process of creating an eye cup takes several months in the laboratory. A 4-millimeter piece of skin is taken from the patient's arm and placed in a flask containing nutrients. Electric pulses allow a special combination of proteins to enter the cells to turn them into stem cells, which are then manipulated into becoming eye cups. Primary school teacher Matt Morrell, age 29, is taking part in the research. He has been treated at Moorfields since being diagnosed at the age of 5 with choroideremia, a progressive retinal degeneration caused by a gene mutation. It began as night blindness, and he started to lose his peripheral vision in his early 20s. Dr. Musaji has already identified a drug that has been shown to improve the function of his retinal cells grown from his skin. She is now seeking funding to support a clinical trial for patients like Mr. Morrell. He said, "By the time I'm 35, he's 29 now, by the time I'm 35, I'm hoping to have something that stops it from getting worse. If it can be reversed, that will be brilliant and will prevent me from totally losing my sight." Sivia Saralini's 4-year-old daughter, Vicky Orlandi, has labor congenital amaurosis, one of the most severe forms of sight loss in children. Ms. Saralini and her husband, Enrico, who live in Vauxhall, again in the United Kingdom, both unknowingly carried the defective gene called RDH12, and they passed it on to their daughter, Vicky. They are facing a race against time for a treatment or cure to be developed, which can help Vicky. They are helping to fund Dr. Musaji's research. Vicky has some sight left, but is registered as blind. She can be totally blind within 10 to 15 years. Her mother said she is using it quite well at the moment, but she has trouble reading and writing. The saddest thing is she is going to lose what she has left. If only I could stop the progression of this disease, I would be the happiest mother. Losing it completely is what we are trying to avoid. Vicky's condition was discovered only when Miss Seralini was pregnant with her son Filippo, now age 2. He did not inherit the disease. Miss Seralini said, "We are not going to leave any stone unturned. It has become our mission to do everything we can. If it's not going to be for Vicky, it will be for the future generations." Okay, now the next article comes from a website called theconversation.com. Conversation.com. This was published in February of this year. The headline reads, "Curing Blindness with Stem Cells. Here is the latest science." In 2006, the journal called Nature published a paper describing how stem cells could be used to restore sight in blind mice. This study, and similar subsequent studies, created a lot of excitement about the potential of stem cells to cure blindness in humans. Well, from this 2006 date, fast forward 12 years, and we still don't seem to be quite there. One notable human clinical trial in Japan was stopped in 2015 due to a risk of a tumor development in the patient's eye. So are we any closer to using stem cell therapies to treat blindness, or will they always be just 10 years away? The first section is called I Spy. The retina is an important tissue at the back of the eye that senses light and sends visual information to the brain. Eye diseases such as glaucoma and macular degeneration are characterized by damage to retina cells, which can eventually lead to vision loss and blindness. Scientists hope to find a way to replace or preserve damaged retina cells in order to treat these eye diseases. Stem cells might be useful for this because they can be triggered to turn into any type of cell. In 2010, scientists successfully guided stem cells into becoming retina cells in a laboratory. It was hoped that these cells could later be delivered into the diseased eyes to replace or preserve damaged retina cells. Although scientists have previously had success isolating and maintaining retina stem cells in the laboratory, there is still more work to do before these cells can be routinely delivered to patients for treatment. The first big challenge is figuring out how treatments can safely be delivered into the patient's eye, into the right location. The eye is such a small and fragile organ that injection needles and surgery may cause even greater damage to the eye. Once a delivery method has been established, the next challenge is deciding how to get the stem cells to communicate with the existing retina cells and function properly inside the eye. Getting this to happen is not easy, and there are risks that the stem cells may not function correctly and could actually cause problems such as inflammation or tumor development inside the eye. In addition to these hurdles, scientists also need to overcome the challenge of immune rejection. In the same way that a body might reject a new heart after transplant surgery, stem cells might also get rejected by the body. Stem cell therapies developed from a patient's own cells have reduced chance of immune rejection, though they may be more expensive and time-consuming to develop. For stem cell therapies developed from donor cells, drugs such as immunosuppressants are likely to be needed. The next section, interestingly titled, Building Miniature Scaffolds. Really miniature. The article says, in order to overcome these challenges, one approach scientists are investigating is the use of what they call biomaterials. Biomaterials are typically materials that have been modified to interact with biological systems. It is hoped that these materials could be used to improve the delivery of stem cell therapy, as well as the integration with existing cells once inside the eye. An example of this is the use of biomaterial scaffolds. As the name suggests, these are scaffolding-like structures that cells can hold onto in order to improve their chances of growth and survival. Scientists have already successfully developed biomaterial scaffolds that closely resemble the environment of retina tissue. Attaching the stem cells to these scaffolds before delivery into the eye may improve their chances of communicating with existing cells and functioning correctly once they're inside the eye. This technique has been successful in studies with mice, and some human clinical trials are already in progress. Therefore, despite the challenges, scientists continue to look for ways to treat debilitating eye diseases. The eye is an incredibly complex and fragile organ, which is why research in this area may take a little bit longer than for other parts of the body. There are still hurdles that need to be overcome, such as the delivery technique of stem cells, their integration with existing cells once inside the eye, and the chance of immune rejection. However, ongoing research into the use of biomaterials to improve stem cell integration has had promising results and may overcome some of these initial challenges. So with continued support of this field of research, we can be hopeful that if the latest clinical trials run successfully, a cure for blindness using stem cells could finally be possible within the next 10 years. Well, next I have some information for you from the FFB's Eye on the Cure. It's called Covering the World of Retinal Diseases. This is the Foundation Fighting Blindness, and their website is www.blindness.org. The headline reads, Retinal Regeneration, Releasing Your Inner Salamander. This was written by Dr. Ben Schaberman, and it was published in July of this year. The article starts by saying, for someone with a retinal disease such as retinitis pigmentosa or macular degeneration, vision loss is caused by photoreceptor degeneration. Photoreceptors are the retinal cells that capture light and convert it into electrical signals. These signals are then sent back to the brain, where they are used to create the images that we see. Many research groups from around the world are investigating the ways to create new photoreceptor cells from stem cells for transplantation into the retina for vision restoration. But this approach presents many challenges, including the risk of immune response to the new photoreceptors, as well as the difficulty in getting them to functionally integrate with the patient's existing retinal tissue. The delicate surgery often necessary for transplanting new cells can be risky as well. However, Dr. Thomas Ray, who has a PhD, he is an FFB-funded expert in retinal development and regeneration at the University of Washington. That's Dr. Ray, R-E-H. Dr. Ray is working on an innovative approach with the potential to revolutionize how scientists go about restoring vision. He is trying to find a way to coax the retina to grow its own new photoreceptors. In fact, at the 2018 Visions Conference in San Diego, he received the Foundation Fighting Blindness's 2018 Ed Gollop Board of Directors Award for his research paper. It was published in the journal Nature on the emerging technique, which was inspired by his earlier work with amphibians. A quote, the paper is the culmination of research in my lab spanning more than 30 years. I first learned about the ability of salamanders to regenerate their retinas when I was an undergraduate student at the University of Illinois, said Dr. Ray. He continued, there was a professor there, Dr. David Slocum, who studied limb regeneration in these amphibians. I was fascinated that these animals, salamanders that is, had this potential. When I started my own lab as an assistant professor in Calgary, I began to study regeneration in tadpoles. Dr. Ray's paper in the journal called Nature highlighted his retinal regeneration advancements in mice. His team was able to derive neurons from retinal cells that are called Müller glia. Müller glia, M-U-L-L-E-R, and that's spelled G-L-I-A. Müller glia normally provide architectural support and a number of protective and waste disposal functions. The new neurons connect with the existing circuits, and the cells respond to light. However, the new neurons are not full-fledged photoreceptors, so there is much more work to be done in advancing this approach into a human study. Here's a quote from Dr. Ray. He says, "The FFB is currently funding our research to derive actual photoreceptors from those Müller glia." And he continues, "The next step would be to develop an appropriate gene therapy for humans to direct expression of the protein ASC11. This is the catalyst for deriving photoreceptors from the Müller glia." Dr. Ray added that safety and efficacy studies in a large animal model would be necessary before moving the approach into any clinical trials. He says, and this is another quote from Dr. Stephen Rose, "While more work needs to be done, Dr. Ray's regenerative therapy is potentially another achievable option for retinal regeneration that has advantages over transplantation." This was said by Dr. Stephen Rose, who is the Foundation Fighting Blindness's chief scientific officer. He continues, "He, Dr. Ray, is an innovator willing to look outside the box. That is important in getting vision-restoring retinal disease treatments out to the people who need them." So next, we have another article from the UK. This is from a website called www.explorestemcells.co.uk. The headline reads, "Stem Cells to Treat Blindness." The article was written by Ian Murnaghan, published in August of this year. For people who are blind, the thought of a treatment to restore their sight may seem like an impossible dream, but it may eventually become a reality after scientists last year were able to restore the eyesight of a blind person. The treatment works by replacing those cells in the eye known as retinal cells that have been damaged or worn out from diseases such as macular degeneration. For the elderly in particular, macular degeneration is a common concern, as it can lead to enormous loss of vision in one or both eyes. So now they diverge a little bit and answer the question, what is macular degeneration? Macular degeneration is a top cause of vision loss in older adults. This is the most common illness that results in blindness in the elderly, or for those people who lose their eyesight due to diabetes. It wreaks havoc on a person's central vision. This kind of vision is important for helping us to see objects clearly, as well as helping us to perform basic everyday tasks, such as reading a book or driving a car. When macular degeneration strikes, it affects the area of the eye that is important for allowing us to see fine details. This disease may progress very slowly so that a person barely notices any changes at all, or it might progress rapidly, causing significant vision loss. And now back to the stem cell topic. Those who might benefit from the most of the stem cell treatment are people who suffer from macular degeneration, but researchers think it could work for other kinds of vision loss as well. To perform the stem cell transplant, researchers initially tested things out in blind mice. They injected stem cells into the rear of the eye. The stem cells were able to replace the damaged photoreceptors. Photoreceptors are small, very important cells found in the retina. The photoreceptors are vital to your ability to see things, and they are very sensitive to light. Interestingly enough, previous studies using stem cells had failed to restore sight. One reason for the problem relates to the choice of stem cells. In the most recent study, researchers used stem cells that were more mature than the ones previous researchers had used. The choice proved successful, as the stem cells developed into photoreceptors and were able to join with the nerves that lead to the brain. Researchers hope to see these kinds of transplants happening on a greater scale in approximately 10 years. With many patients suffering from diseases in the eye that cause those photoreceptors to die, this research offers a way to provide photoreceptor transplantation, helping to restore eyesight for many people around the world. The use of a patient's own cells also avoids the potential for immunological rejection, a threat that comes with other types of treatment. Experts do still tend to warn that we should not assume this study means we automatically have a cure for blindness. It is just one case study, and there are still a number of challenges and risks that come with this treatment. But it does offer hope for people who are blind from macular degeneration that they may one day have their eyesight again. And you know, with all this optimism floating around here, I've got to come up with the other side of the picture here. This next article is titled Disappointments in Stem Cell Therapies. This was written by the same author as the previous article, Ian McMurnahan, and it was written in April of this year. Although there have been many breakthrough studies into stem cell therapies, there have also, unfortunately, been some disappointments as well. One such disappointment has been the aim to provide a large amount of embryonic stem cells from hybrids. To successfully use hybrid stem cells, there are genes that are vital to stem cell development. These genes have to be turned on, but thus far, researchers have been unable to accomplish this task. At present, embryonic stem cells are only attainable through discarded embryos left over from in vitro fertilization procedures. They are highly controversial, and the search for alternate stem cell sources is a major one, namely to avoid the controversy. Well, there have also been stories of success in quote-unquote reprogramming adult stem cells into an embryonic-like state. There are still problems with this source. Embryonic stem cells are ones that have the ability to form any specialized cell in the body, while other kinds of stem cells, although still valuable, don't have quite that same potential. One hope was that by taking the nucleus out of an animal egg and then using that nucleus from a cell in a adult human, we could essentially gain an unlimited supply of embryonic stem cells. The hope had been that the egg's DNA would cause the nucleus to go back to an embryonic state and allow us to extract stem cells that would contain the DNA of the adult who donated the original cells. This would also avoid the risk of immunological rejection in the adult donor, which is another benefit of this therapy if it had worked. In experiments, however, it has unfortunately been shown that genes do not behave as they should in the hybrids. They did not mimic the expression of those genes in normal embryos from humans. Another problem was that the hybrids did not develop properly to the important stage, which is known as the blastocyst stage. I'll spell that one for you. It's B-L-A-S-T-O-C-Y-S-T, the blastocyst stage of stem cells. Here, in this stage, there is a cluster of approximately 100 cells, which is vital for obtaining stem cells. In the hybrids, development seemed to halt early on, generally at around the 8 to 16 cell stage. The alerts that are necessary to trigger continued cell development just didn't seem to be there, and the nucleus wasn't totally reprogrammed as it should have been. Other scientists, however, are still hopeful that some of these vital genes may eventually be turned on. Scientists in Asia were apparently able to create cybrids, which is what they're called. And a quick definition here, C-Y-B-R-I-D-S, cybrids are artificial hybrid cells. So scientists in Asia were apparently able to create cybrids from human skin cells and they reported that the blastocyst stage was indeed reached, and the critical genes were also turned on. The downside was that the number of cybrids that were able to reach this stage were very sparse in number. Despite the disappointments of some stem cell research, the future does still look very exciting for finding stem cell treatments that can improve and save lives. Most of the research in this area has been promising and shows that we are making progress into this important area. The setbacks only mean that we must continue to fund ethical stem cell research to search for safe, successful ways to treat this disease. Now, in preparing this program, I would usually begin with some basic information and definitions and go on from there. Today, I chose to end the program with that basic information, sort of like a review. This information comes from Medline Plus. Stem cells are cells with the potential to develop into many different types of cells in the body. They serve as a repair system for the body. There are two main types of stem cells, embryonic stem cells and adult stem cells. Stem cells are different from other cells in the body in these three ways. They can divide and renew themselves over a long time. They are unspecialized, so they cannot do specific functions in the body. However, they have the potential to become specialized cells such as muscle cells, blood cells, brain cells, and, as we know, retina cells. Doctors and scientists are excited about stem cells because they could help in many different areas of health and medical research. Studying stem cells may help explain how serious conditions such as birth defects and cancer come about. Stem cells may one day be used to make cells and tissues for therapy in many diseases. Examples would include Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, spinal cord injuries, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, and, as we know, retinal diseases. Now, just a reminder, please remember we don't endorse any of these products or treatments. We just thought you should know about them. And to end today's program, I have a thought for you. When the world says, give up, it is hope that whispers, try it just one more time. This is a quote from Dr. Michelle Bengston, a board-certified clinical neuropsychologist, more than 20 years of experience in the diagnosis and treatment of medical and mental disorders. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.